light on? Yes, the red light is on.
Thank you.
This is the February 13th, 2012 meeting of the Appointments Committee. Mary Jane Shimsky, Chair. We have with us members John Testa and Elfrida Williams. We also have with us John White, who is an unconfirmed member of the Housing Opportunity Commission, and we're going to be talking with him today.
Good
afternoon, Mr. White.
Good afternoon.
It's great to see you. Now, I understand that you've been attending the meetings for a while.
I have attended every meeting, mm-hmm. I think, there's only a few in the group that have, and I have had, plus all the secondary meetings that were held also with the legislators in the towns to make the instruction and stuff.
Mm-hmm. What is the general charge of the committee, and what specific issues or projects is your group working on?
Well, the charge, of course, is to assist the county board, mm-hmm. and you've given us some charge to help and assist. I think what's been helpful for us is, you know, I just finished working on the comprehensive plan in North Salem. Mm-hmm. So I have already been through all of the housing issues,
right.
and had in detail. So it was a natural transition for me to move on to the committee so that you get a closer linkage between what the planning department and the legal department, mm-hmm. in the county is doing, so the issues can be brought to light.
Mm-hmm.
And in most cases, it's the next level of detail. You know, you can agree at a high level to do something, but when you start peeling it back, where are the gaps, where are the issues that need to be resolved?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we push and test. They show us the websites and what they're working on, and critique it in the databases. And so I think we've been useful as far as we can do so far. And we're, you know, willing and able to work in any direction you want to point us. But at this point, the planning board keeps us up to speed on all of the exactly the status of the hot topics,
mm-hmm.
and then we try to assist in any way we can.
Mm-hmm. What got you interested in land use policy?
That goes back to my days of growing up in Yorktown.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
I mean,
John knows from Yorktown.
Yeah. I represent Yorktown.
You represent Yorktown. Well, I go back. My first job, I wasn't even out of college. I was just taking a break between colleges, was working for names are not my strong suit. Germeroth, the town engineer.
Okay.
And at that time, I was an inspector on the sewer projects.
I was going to say, sewage had to be part of
sewer
something.
Sewer was it.
It's your town,
so
sewage.
I was the inspector at 17 years of age of all the sewer projects in Yorktown. And it's there, really, I learned the basics of construction, mm-hmm. and everything else. I had the engineering to start with. And that brings me into, you know, why you need sewers, what about density, where is it economics? It's a mm-hmm. planning process. Really, if there's one element in the whole thing, it's where do you have sewers and where don't you have sewers?
Mm-hmm.
Because that drives density. And based on that, really, the, you know, that's kind of the foundation. Because where I lived off Allen Court, up off, I want to say, Coles or whatever, up the hill.
Right. Hegan Lake area?
No. Right downtown. Yorktown Heights.
Allen Avenue. Coles, I thought you
meant
there. Okay.
No, I'm going back.
Okay, yeah.
Original Caldors.
Right, that's Coles.
Park.
Right.
Okay, up the hill from there. And, you know, I work, I mean, the things you learn, I did the first little tunnel under 118 there.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember the field engineer said, you don't need to wash this, just at the end, you measure the length, and that's it. I said, yeah, but I got to understand, how do you build a tunnel? How do you push under the pipe? And, so I'm 17, just soaking it up. I later went on to build over 300 tunnels.
Wow.
In the telephone business and stuff like that, within 10 years after that. So it was, you know, I'd taken your resume steers you your path. And I remember going through there and saying, oh, you can never build on this piece of property. It's 40 feet of, 50 feet of swamp.
Uh-huh.
If you ever built anything here, it would all cave in. You know the history. So that kind of, you know, tells you you can...
Some people don't listen to those things.
I see the issues and those kind of things.
That's the problem.
So.
Well, if you don't, you learn why you should sooner rather than later.
So then, you know, I'll fast forward. My resume is 50 years, so I mean, I can go any story anywhere, but I'll just take that theme and fast forward. I moved to North Salem in 1975. And at that time, we had the issues of, you know, are we going to be another Pepsi IBM multifamily, or are we going to be a Yorktown, or are we going to be a Pound Ridge? And again, the issue teetered on sewers. Are you going to put sewers in, or are you not going to put sewers in? So that, to me, became the fundamental issues. And then you step back as a planner, which I've done a lot of planning, worked on Westchester 2000, worked as vice chairman of the Intergovernmental Relations Committee. We studied 43 services, mm-hmm. my team, okay? What's the most efficient way? You know, how do you plan in the dense, where you use mass transit, move out, and those kind of things. So I really am ingrained in planning. And so at that time I got involved, and we redid the master plan in 1985 in North Salem. 25 years later, I did it again. Nothing done in between. So that's kind of the, you know, a little bit of my background between the municipal piece.
Mm-hmm.
I can, depending on how you want to go, I can take you down another path of regulatory path.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Verizon, I worked at New York Tel, that 111 Main Street. I helped design that building.
Okay.
When all these roads were lowered for the urban renewal, Lexington Avenue came down 14 feet. I did all that design. So intimately involved in all the cities, whether it's Mount Vernon, New Rochelle, worked throughout the county here.
Mm-hmm.
But this is back in the 70s. Okay, I've got another 30 years of knowledge and learning that I did since then. So I got involved with Verizon, worked through in the technology piece, and ended up when Verizon... Actually, AT&T got broken up. Then they created 9X. Then they created Bell Atlantic. Then we put them together. Then we got out of long distance. Then we got into long distance. Every piece of the process in the change required regulatory involvement at the New York State Public Service Commission level, at the FCC, and at the Department of Justice. And I was the witness on all those. In every case, in 300 proceedings, I was the technical, financial, pricing witness on all those. Why we design what we design, why it should be unbundled, what the costs are. Got involved in DOJ, antitrust issues, $4 billion case, I was the witness. All these things came to resolution successfully. The antitrust case for $4 billion was thrown out. I was given accommodations personally by the New York State Public Service Commission for doing the effort to coordinate all of the companies doing interconnection in the state. And they referred me to the FCC, where I became a subject matter expert for the FCC and how to work out all the technical details on how to design between companies. So I'm giving you a high-level snapshot of a few of the dimensions I've worked in, okay? If you want to point me in another direction, when I, towards the end of my career at Verizon, I developed first the strategy for going Fios.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did the pilots, the designs, the engineering guidelines, but then needed to change the federal and state rules in 39 states and get approval, which I did in 9 months. After that, I went to the board and asked for $10 billion, which I got to spend over 10 years, and then left the company in 2003. And I started my own company, which I had a regulatory arm. And I did witnessing, continued for Verizon. We were they used me in California, Florida, Texas, Illinois, lots of states. If you go on my website, there's many cases that I was on, and I think you're a lawyer, right?
No, I'm a teacher.
A teacher. Okay.
Technology teacher, actually.
Oh, a technology
and
teacher.
And history teacher, yeah.
Okay.
So. I used to be a lawyer.
Okay, yeah. But, you know, in all these proceedings...
We have enough lawyers, right?
I get good out of the black one here and never went back.
That's a problem. It was one technologist that would be cross-examined by 12 different company lawyers.
Yeah.
And then I would finish in New York and then go to California.
Do the same thing.
Do the same thing. How to lose weight. Actually, gain weight. So I was having a conversation with someone about, New York State. The response was horrible to the with the electric companies to restore service. And I got involved locally in the town because they would call me up, hey, we lost a cell tower, what can you do? I'd call somebody in Chicago. They get some, I go right to the top of the house and they get somebody out. But the electric company, I call, there's a wire down here. Well, we don't have time. I said, I don't care if you fix it or don't fix it. You got to get a cone. This kid's walking around these things for a week. This is life and limb. I don't care if you don't have anybody.
Sounds like Con Ed.
Okay.
Right?
This is New York State Electric and Gas. This is New York State. And I'm talking a week after the storm. So, I've been on the other side of the coin. I've been in front of the PSC explaining why Brooklyn has bad service and those kind of things. But there's tremendous need to work between government and industry and all those kind of things.
Yes?
Okay. Did you do any work in Peekskill during your time?
Broad Street. We never did a lot of work in Peekskill.
They had a building there, though.
Yeah, we still do.
Yeah.
Still do. Broad Street.
Brown Street.
Brown Street.
Brown Street.
Right around from the now I know where the Social Security office is. Then I knew where Brown Street was. And actually,
Paramount Theater.
Yes. And I went to summer school in Peekskill.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. I'm not good with languages. Latin was not my forte.
What are some of the North County specific issues that you've been dealing with on this committee?
Well,
I say as a girl from Hastings.
Yeah.
We have sewers.
Again, if you have a plan that says you're going to be low density and you're not going to spend money on sewers and water, you need to have 3 acres in order to manage the septic and water and keep it clean. All right. So we have always had a history of being attacked because we don't have enough multifamily housing, as if multifamily housing was going to be cheap housing. You can buy a house, or you can buy my house for $400,000. You can't buy a multifamily house in our town for $800,000. Because it's multifamily and you're in White Plains and you can put density, you can make it less expensive, but not there. So we were under pressure to do multifamily, and we have sites.
Was this pressure part of the housing settlement? Or
no,
is this?
This goes back in history. Okay. There's a whole history of Berenson, Newcastle, and requirements. That's old history. And it really, one of the problems I had with the old housing board, and George Raymond in specific, is that he was focused on the old issues. He was focused on, you're growing, you got to, build all this. And the fact of the matter is we have a housing crisis, but it isn't because we're not building houses. It's, people are taxed out of the houses that they have. So we do have sites zoned, and for the first time, people are coming in to do them, which is good. We'll be a major part. We'll be the number one contributor to the housing settlement in North Salem.
Okay.
I mean, we will have a 10% increase in our population, which we haven't had in 300 years with two projects. I mean, and you don't hear anybody complaining, okay? So I think we've done more than our fair share. But it also becomes to the point of ludicrous on some of these things. And I'll just give you one example. When I did the first housing policy in North Salem back in 1985, I was on the town board for 5 years. So I've had my... And we looked at, what was the right way to determine eligibility? What was the right way to price so that it would work? And one of the things that we found is that, it was preferential, at least in my belief, that to be owner was better than to be a renter. you know, and it would work out better. So we lean more towards owners. But then we also push to accessory, which works very well in our town, where you have a main house, and then somebody has an outbuilding that's, they don't need to, you know, they convert it. It was, you know, the mother-in-law was there, now they're going to convert it. It'd be a great accessory apartment. And we have them up there. They cost less than what the HUD standards are, you know. But none of them are counted. So it becomes a numbers game. What's a number and what's real and what's not? So, you know, I look at it and I say, okay, well, what's the problem with going with HUD versus us? Well, we had a major problem, and everybody did, because we had a policy for giving extra points if you were a volunteer fireman, and extra points.
So you didn't use federal money then?
Well, it wasn't in it. Nobody brought it up.
Right.
If somebody brought it up and said, you can't do that, we wouldn't have done it. Okay? So we had to undo those. All right? So that's okay.
I think most communities did that. The communities down in my area, Hastings, gave you points for being a volunteer firefighter.
It would work as long as the demographics of that selected population is looks like your target population.
Right.
Then you're fine.
Right.
Okay? So that was a something that needed to be fixed, and nobody should complain about that. The other thing is today, the housing, and I tell you, you know, I was a consultant for Lehman Brothers during this process, so I'm intimately familiar with CDOs and all those issues and stuff. The HUD formula, I think, is dangerous. We now have, first of all, a lower income level set to buy these houses, which it costs more because you got to have a car. You can't. There's no public transportation where you are. So now you're making somebody come in at a lower level, and then they got to get a car. It's like we're pushing this envelope. They should be allowed to make a little bit more and qualify. So this one size fits all, I think, is a problem. So at this point, I think where there's enough candidates, it's not an issue. But I'm thinking long term. I'm a long term thinker. Okay. My idea to put mass transit on the Tappan Zee Bridge in 1982. All right. So the second is the formula for owning is the HUD formula. It sounds great. It's for a snapshot in time, because they calculate, okay, you take 30% of your income, blah, 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 you got it all done. There's your formula. If I was buying it, and I could today because my income qualifies, I mean, you know, I was buying one of these units, and then I go to sell it in 10 years, I couldn't sell it. Because guess what? Interest rates would have gone up. They're never going to go down.
Right.
So when they do the formula, it's this house that I paid $250 for can now be sold at $180. What? This is crazy. Or vice versa, you've got, you know, that no matter how there's some things that worry me. Okay, now, we haven't raised them yet and those kind of things, and I think this has to be an evolution process, and that's why it's important that people that are thinking in multiple dimensions as you go through this, that you've got these different economic things that happen when anybody signs a mortgage on the thing. You don't want that person that buys it to be hurt. You know, the assumption was when I did it in 85 that, okay, you know, cost of living goes up 5%, 4%. They saw 10 years later, you know, the wage then was 60, now it's 80. Okay, so their house appreciated with it, and it's still affordable. Everything works. But we're in an economy where things are out of whack. So I've actually pushed and said, I think we'd be safer off doing it with rentals. This way, we're not going to have people in here and get stuck. You know, that's the kind of thing. You know, that's my two cents. I'm giving you my two cents on the committee. But I'm just giving you the snapshot of today. And so I want you to have a flavor that I have all of these dimensions, and how do you make it work? And the reason, you know, that I've managed successfully in all the regulatory things is not because I was a good fighter. It's because I brought real issues to the table, and we worked them out and solved them. And that's what this, you know, housing thing needs. Yeah.
Does anyone have any more questions? Alfreda, you've got something?
No, I think
pretty much hit everything, yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay,
I think we can let you go now.
All right.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in.
And you're, whereabouts are you? In
Greenberg.
Greenberg, okay.
Yes, we're both Greenberg. Yeah, right. I'm southern Greenberg, she's northern Greenberg.
And which school district, and which fire district, and which...
Mine's all Hastings, and Hastings, although...
Those are the problems that are popping up, right?
Greenberg popped off the map back in 85, or in 82, when we were Prezioso and we were looking at it. On all of the number of overlaps and stuff.
Oh, I remember when I first started getting involved in town politics, and I remember I actually got everything, the complexities of the post office, mm-hmm. the school district, and the municipal under my belt. And one day, my husband and I started driving down Ravensdale, Jackson, turned up North Sprain Road. And I'd started rattling off Hastings, Hastings School District, Unincorporated, Greenberg, Hastings PO, turn the corner, okay, now we're Ardsley School District, Scarsdale PO, Unincorporated, Greenberg, and he looked at me as if I was crazy.
Well, when I was the telephone company, I started underground construction. From sewers went to underground, then to design, and then to future stuff. That was my life. I used to go get the permits. Mm-hmm. So you'd be, okay, well, there's a curb here on a county road. So I got a county road curb, city, state. Even within the same spot, mm-hmm. I would have to get four permits before I even started.
Oh, I'll tell you, the crazy thing about it is I live in an area with a very well-educated population. The vast majority of people have no idea where they live.
I remember having an argument with...
The White Plains thing.
Well, no. I mean, she lived in Hartsdale, and she kept on talking about Hartsdale. I said, there is no Hartsdale. It's just a mailing address. Yes. And she'd lived there for like 4 years, and she said, that's ridiculous. How can you say that? I said, because there is no Hartsdale. It was named after Mr. Hart, who owned the estate. There is no Hartsdale.
Yeah. It's a hamlet.
Try to find North Salem. There is no North Salem. There is no. It's just a town. There's Grove Falls. There's Purdy's. Yeah. I moved up. If I'm keeping you, stop me. But you draw the circle. I worked at 10 County Center Road, right behind the building there.
Oh yeah. And Greenberg.
In Greenberg. I drove the back roads to get. Mm-hmm. You know where I'm going. Underneath the parkway, and then drew the 30-mile circle and we looked. Couldn't afford. And my wife calls me up. She says, "Oh, I found this house in North Salem." I said, "I can't go to North Salem. That's way far away, And she says, "Well, it's the only one we can afford, So, got in the car, and it was right off the exit. So it was just made it. It was like I can do this, And it was the gas crisis time, 8.75, And I look at the house. Boy, this is great. I call up my father, and I said, "I'm gonna buy this house in North Salem." He says, "Oh, you're going back to your old roots." I said, "What do you mean your old roots?" I said, "You grew up in Purdy's." He says, "Where do you think Purdy's is?" Our roots went back to 1850 in Purdy's.
Wow.
And I grew up in Yorktown and didn't connect all those.
Right, it's something.
Thank you very much again.
Thank you.
Take care.
Okay, so
I'll
long
just walk out to Fred Hall, and then if you want to hang out for a while, you might be able to catch Peter. I'll be right back.
All right, great. Thank you so much.
And if you need me for anything else, just...
Thank you.
I got to do something for money next time. Okay.
I don't blame you.
Too many volunteer things.
Consulting businesses. No.
All right. So we're dealing with a serious guy with a lot of relevant experience who shows up and is ready to work.
I'll make the motion to appoint him.
Anybody want a second?
I'll second.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
I'm done.
Yeah?
I'm done.
All right, move to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, both motions passed unanimously. We are now adjourning at roughly 4:34 p.m.